And take your Bibles, please. Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Just a short passage here in Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21. Isaiah 43, 18. And the Bible says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Father, please bless the preaching this morning. I pray you speak to our hearts, and I pray you use your word in our lives. It would not return void, but Lord, something would happen to each and every one of us because of your word today. And I pray we'd be different. And I thank you so much for the rivers in the desert. And certainly our land needs water. Certainly we need physical water on our grass and on our plants, and our farmers need water. And we've been praying about that. But Lord, we need water that you give, spiritual water, each of us. And there are so many needs represented here. Help us, Lord, with rivers in the desert, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not sure if I've ever seen it quite this dry, at least here in Adrian. I'm sure it has been. But, I mean, it is dry. Yards are looking brown, and I know farmers are having a tough time. Brother Bremer, he keeps reminding me, like it's up to me somehow, but he keeps reminding me that, you know, his vegetables need water, and everything needs water out there, and it is so dry. In fact, we, I don't know if it was Mother's Day or just because one of those kind of days, but I bought my wife some flowers for the front of the house, and they're kind of pink, purple, I don't know what they are, but anyway, I don't know much about flowers, but anyway, we've bought these before and put them out there in the front, and they've looked real pretty, and so we went to Barrett's and got these things, but we got the kind that we've had them before, that if you go a day without water, I mean, they look like, it's almost like they're saying, "You hate me." Honestly, I always think that, you know, I mean, if you miss a day, these things, I mean, they literally, they just, they're down, they're out. I mean, it looks like there's no hope for them. Well, when we went away, she thought she had the base covered, and she forgot to ask somebody to water them. So we were gone several days in this heat, no rain, and so we got back, and I mean, it was beyond "you hate me." It's like you want to kill me. And they were, I mean, I've never seen anything look so bad. There was nothing, no life, no green, and they get like that after a day of not being watered. I don't know what kind they are. Don't buy that kind. But I mean, they're real nice when they have water, and but you just have to watch them all the time. But so we were going, and I mean, honestly, these things looked bad, and they still don't look real good. But I say all that to say that she started watering them again every day, and actually the other day, one flower actually popped forth, you know, in its pinkness, and it's like, you know, they're saying thank you. You know, thank you for some water in the desert. And I don't know if they're going to survive or not. There's green now starting to form where there was brown. I mean, it really looked bad. So pray for her flowers that they come back. You say, "Why don't you just buy new ones?" Well, I'm kind of anxious to see if this will be a good sermon illustration or not. But you'll notice what God says. And you know, but you look at that and you start to think, that's kind of the way our lives can be sometimes. Sometimes it can get pretty dry, can't it? I know before I got saved, it was very dry. It was like a desert. My life was empty. There was nothing going on. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was on my way to hell. Thank God for salvation. I like what it says in the scripture here in verse 19. God says, "Behold, I'll do a new thing." Aren't you glad? You know, salvation is about new things. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? They become new. And when you get saved, it's all new. Everything starts over. I mean, it's Jesus said you must be born how? Born again. And literally, you're born of God. You're born with God as your Father. And everything's new now, like a baby. You know, that's why new converts, it's so exciting. That's why soul winning church is so exciting. That's why when souls aren't getting saved, it's like a desert. That's why Vacation Bible School is so exciting. That's why the fair ministry, right? It's so exciting. Why? New birth. People are getting saved. That's why the nursery is so exciting in a lot of ways. That area, that hallway back there, it's exciting. Little children, they're running around. They're excited, you know. And new converts are like that. They're excited. And newness, there's something about that that is, it is exciting. And life is exciting. Death isn't so exciting, except when you go to heaven. But death itself is not so exciting. God says, He says, remember ye not the former, forget all that stuff, all right? Forget the former things. He said, don't worry, neither consider the things of old. Those don't matter. He said, I'm going to do something new. You know, that's the way Christianity is, folks. It's something new. It's new all the time. It's new every day. His mercies, he said, are new every day. In the morning, brand new. Everything's new. You can start over every day, literally. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You say, oh, yesterday was such a bad day. Get on your knees before God and say, God, forgive me for yesterday. Forgive me for all that stuff. And you know what? It's like rain. Amen. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. He said, and for everybody in this room, understand, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, he said, forget the things of old, it can all be new. That doesn't mean you're not going to have scars. That doesn't mean there's not going to be some things you have to deal with, but it does mean it can be new for you. Praise God for that. Tell your face, that's good. Okay, I'm not seeing a lot of smiling. Maybe it's up front. Maybe everybody's smiling in the back. But I'm telling you, that's a good thing. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. And by the way, isn't that a new thing? Verse 18 and 19. You know, everything's dry in a desert. And he said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. And what's he say? He said, I'm going to make rivers in the desert. You ever heard of such a thing? I mean, seriously, you ever heard of such a thing as rivers in the desert? Come on. I mean, that doesn't happen other than God doing it. By the way, for God, that's not so tough. He spoke and the oceans were. He spoke all the rivers into existence. Nothing for him to put a river in the middle of the Sahara. Amen. And it's not hard for God to put a river in the middle of the Mojave. I mean, really, for God, that's not so tough. He spoke and there was a lake. He spoke and there was a dinky little pond. Amen. He spoke and there was a sea. He spoke and there was the Red Sea. I'm just saying, for God, that's not a tough. He just said, okay, here's something you hadn't thought of. How about a river in the desert? Here's something you haven't thought of. Your life right now, okay, it's a desert. All right, somebody died. Okay, somebody, you lost your job. All right, the economy's terrible. Okay, God says, but I've got something for you here. God says, I can put a river there in that desert. God says, I can do anything. It's not too hard for me. He said, it's a new thing. You know, Christian, honestly, you'd be more excited if you'd start looking for some new things from God. Because he's able. He can do it. He said, behold. He said, pay attention. Take heed. Look up. Hey, watch. I'm going to do a new thing. He said, it shall spring forth. Rivers in the desert. What a wonderful thing. And he says in verse 20, the beasts of the field shall honor me. Why? Because a river in the desert, that's a good thing. Amen. Those beasts in the field, they need water. I suppose those plants, they probably said when my wife, we got home and she put that water, they said, thank you. I mean, I don't know how a plant talks. But I could just almost imagine they were excited about that. I mean, I could almost, you know, when that purple, pink, whatever color that flower was, it finally came out and said, pop. And there it was. It was saying, hey, thanks a lot. And God says, he says, when I put a river in the desert, he said that the beasts of the field will honor me. The dragons and the owls will honor me. They're excited about that. Why? He said, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Because I'm putting water there where they didn't think it could ever come. I'm putting water there where it's not supposed to be. I'm doing something new that they never seen before. And I'm putting water where they never imagined that it could possibly be. It's a river in the desert. I'm just saying to you today, you may feel like it's a desert in your life right now. God can put a river there. God could put a river in that desert. Praise the Lord for that. And you know, God here likens his working to a river in the desert. A place where there's absolutely, you know, there's nothing there. And God says, I'm God, I can do anything. And you know, you need to notice here in our text, this river, we're not talking about putting it in the bottom of a valley somewhere. We're talking about putting it in the midst of a desert. You know, the liberals will always try to explain away miracles of God. They'll always try. They can't explain away that. They can't explain how God can put a river in a desert. And you know, liberals are always trying to explain away something God did for a Christian. You know, your coworkers, they're always trying to explain away. You know, well, God answered my prayer, and they always come up with, well, you were lucky. Oh, luck, that takes a lot of facts to prove that. You know, oh, you must have found a four-leaf clover is why that happened. No, listen to me. God can put a river right slap in the middle of your desert. I don't care how dry it is. He doesn't have to have an ocean to divert. He doesn't have to have a well of water underneath the ground. God just speaks, and there it is. And that could happen in your life. And it would happen in your life if you just trust him and let him. There's no water in the desert. There can't be water in the desert unless God puts it, because God can do anything. I wonder this morning if your life maybe is like a desert. Maybe it's like a desert. And I want to challenge you with that. You know, the children of Israel, they needed water, and they were out in the wilderness, and God got it from a rock. Not only that, that rock, it wasn't attached to anything, by the way. It wasn't attached to the city water. Thank God, because they'd had to send a notice out every once in a while that the water's contaminated for the last couple weeks. It's always amazing they send those notices after we drank the water. But God got the water out of a rock, amen? But the amazing thing about that whole thing, and we read that and we get excited about it, the Bible says the rock followed them. I didn't say it. God said it. It followed him. Amen? So you know, you just moved away, and the next morning it's back there again. I don't know. You know, I'd like to. Someday we'll watch the DVD of all that stuff taking place. But that water came out of that rock, and all those people got water. Why? Because God provided water in the wilderness. And God can make a river in the desert. Samson, he just killed 1,000 bad guys with the jawbone of a donkey. And he started whining about things. Isn't it amazing how we'll have a victory and then we whine and blame God and get all bent out of shape and everything? Oh, God, yeah, but I killed all them and I just don't understand. I mean, come on, Samson, you're not that tough. Amen? You're not that big and bad of a guy that you can whoop all those guys, that you can whoop the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Did you kind of think maybe God might have had something to do with it? Okay, well, yeah, you know, I'm sure God did, but now I'm about to die of thirst. I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I live without water? And Samson, would you pay attention, son? Did God help you kill the Philistines or not? Yeah. I'm amazed. Honestly, I'm amazed at me. I'm amazed at us, often. What can't God do? And so there sits Samson. He's looking at that jawbone of the donkey. A jawbone, not a sword, a jawbone. He just used it. Probably got a little blood on it. And all of a sudden, there's a little hollow place in that jawbone. And all of a sudden, water starts bubbling out of there. Isn't that amazing? Samson, oh, I don't know what I'm going to... Oh. Where'd that come from? Bubble, but like a spring. I promise you, it was cold. He drinks all he wants. You listen? Folks, God's God.
Yeah, but the desert's just hot. And I don't like it.
But God's still God. Paul and Silas, can I remind you, they're in jail. It doesn't look good. They've been whipped until their backs are all bloody. And at midnight, the Bible says they sang. And God sent an earthquake. I've been at hospitals, I've been at cemeteries, I've been in funeral homes, and I felt like the desert's closing in on me. I've looked up and I've seen the bones of other victims, and I've thought, boy, this is me soon. I mean, it's over. This is a desert. And I've watched God literally carve out a river right in the middle of that desert. So what's in a desert? Let me give you some things and we'll go home. Number one, the desert speaks of dryness. Dryness. How many of you ever seen a desert? Raise your hand if you've seen a desert. All right, several folks have. There's not a lot of them around here, but if you've seen a desert, I mean, it's sand for miles and miles and miles. I mean, it's just dry. And you often hear about people who are stranded in a desert, and the first thing, obviously, is their thirst. Have you ever been real thirsty? Most of us, we think we're hungry or thirsty, and we're really not. But if you ever really been thirsty, imagine when you're that thirsty and you look around and there's just nothing. Nowadays you can get bottled water. Most places you'll find some place with a drinking fountain or something like that, and unless the state condemns it. Folks, honestly, it is becoming totally ridiculous. But let's move on. You're thirsty and you got to have water, and there's nothing. There's no water anyway. It's just all sand. Everywhere you look is sand. Everywhere you look, it's dry. And, the sun just beats down on you, and it's just hotter and hotter and hotter. It's unbelievable. And your mouth gets blisters because you're licking your lips. You're just trying to get anything to somehow take care of that thirst that you have because it's just so dry. As a Christian, have you ever been thirsty for God to do something? And you look around, it's like a desert all around. It's like, this is happening, that's happening, everything's bad, and the sand is just like it's closing in, and I just need God to do something. John 7:37 says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He is the living water." Always. Okay. That rock that followed him around, that provided water, the Bible says that rock was Christ. And out of him, he told the woman at the well, comes living water. And it just constantly, constantly. He'll take care of your thirst. You know the reason we get thirsty as Christians sometimes is we forget about him. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And Brother Clark and I, about every time we see each other, we greet each other. Still abiding? Still abiding. Abundant life? Abundant life. Because the two go together, by the way. Amen. Abide in Christ, and you'll never thirst. Walk with him. You'll never thirst. You say, I'm thirsty for God. I need God to answer a prayer. I need God to bless my life. I need God to do something in my life. And today, you be honest, you say, my life is a wreck. My home, my children. I'm thirsty for God to do something. God says, I'll put a river in your desert. By the way, he's the one who can. Church can't. Pastors can't. Teachers can't. God can. God could put a river right slap in the middle of your desert. Desert speaks of dryness. Number two, a desert speaks of desolation. Desolation. I don't know of anything. Barren. Empty. You're in a desert, and in the middle of a desert, you look around, and I mean, there's nothing. Desolation. You ever talk to somebody and you can see it in their eyes? My wife and I have been in the ministry a long, long time. And when we were first in the ministry, I don't think we recognized this so much, but after years of the ministry, you can see people. You can see it in their eyes. They're in a desert. It's desolation all around. It's like they've given up completely. And I suppose if you got lost in a desert, it would be like that because there's no life. Everything is barren. There is nothing. It's like in the winter, and one of the things that we both, my wife and I both, do not like about the winter is all the trees. They're just barren. There's nothing. It's like life is gone. And in the desert, it's just like that. And in people's lives, it's like that. And you see that empty look. Oh, I've often wondered about some of the folks that I've known who have committed suicide. If I just could have seen that look and could have recognized it way back when I was a young pastor. Boy, you can see that look in people's eyes. It's desolation. It's nothing is happening. It's a life that is empty. A life that has, to them anyway, nothing. There's nothing to show for my life. It's you read, and I've got different articles that I read about those that maybe have taken their life, and they said, I have no reason to live. Nothing to live for. Desolation. I guess that'd be like you'd feel in a desert where there's just nothing to show for, nothing happening. It's like a desert. By the way, there's nothing happening in the desert that you can see. I mean, there's all kinds of things actually happening, but you just can't tell. Kind of reminds me of we had remodeled our building in Bern, Indiana, that we had purchased and remodeled it and been a farm implement place, and we had a lot of remodeling to do. And we put in I had a man in our church built our baptistry and coated it and all that and set it in there. And we had just finished all that up, and we had Dr. Tom Williams come for a revival. And I'm thinking it was before he and I were really close to each other and became very good friends. And he came and he was preaching for us, and he was talking about our bus ministry. He was bragging about the church, and bless God, he's, you know, in the only the way Dr. Williams, and he hadn't changed, I'll tell you. And he says, you know, he's talking about, well, and hallelujah, you know, this is a church that's a soul-winning church, and bless God, they're running buses, and there's life here, and you know, this is one of those churches that doesn't drain their baptistry, and I guarantee there's water. And he walked back, and he looked in, and he stopped. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting up there and I'm going, no, keep talking, just get away. And he said, it's dry, the baptistry's dry, what is wrong with you people? And I'm just, I wanted to hide. But what's he saying? Can't God do something? Why wouldn't you be ready? And we weren't ready because it was brand new. But, folks, listen to me. Is your life dry? Are you ready? Are you ready for God to do something? Because why settle for desolate life? We are more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm a child of the King. We sing the song. I watch folks sing sometimes, and I think, you don't really believe that. You'll read about the royal wedding, and you'll say, oh, that's so wonderful. I'm a child of the King. I got something better than the royal wedding. I'm a child of the King. You're a child of the King if you're saved today. You don't have to have a desolate life. I'll tell you, when I got saved, my life was desolate. Before I got saved, my life was empty. I had nothing to show for my life at the age of 17. You say, oh, you had some good times. Oh, you did this and oh, you did. Listen to me. I had nothing. Nothing. Eat, drink, work, play. Big deal. By the way, Christian, why would you want that? That's desolation. But now that I've learned that God can put a river in the desert, I found there's nothing that He can't do. There's nothing, there's never a time I have to thirst. It's never desolate. Oh, it may look bad. It may look like there's not a whole lot happening. But with God, listen to me. It's always happening. You got to walk with Him. You got to stay with Him. You've got to trust Him. I have life all around. And you know what? You say, well, you know, it just seems like desolate. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell your neighbor. Go tell your coworkers. Give them a gospel tract. Invite them to church. You can help make things happen in your life. Give God an opportunity to give you that river in the desert. Number one, desert speaks of dryness. Number two, a desert speaks of desolation. Number three, the desert speaks of delusion. Oh, yeah. You're hot. You're thirsty. Your lips are parched. And you look ahead, and all of a sudden, you've gone miles. You've gone for hours. And you're dying. You haven't seen anything. But all of a sudden, right before you, there's a pond. Sure enough, trees. Wow. I mean, and all of a sudden your energy is, you're excited again, and you start to run and you dive into that pond only to find that it's sand and there are no trees. and it's a mirage. Oh, yeah. How excited you were when you saw it. And then you realized it was a delusion. The devil has all kinds of delusions to make you think that your desert life is going to get better with what he has to offer. But that's all it is a delusion. When you really get right down to it, it's all just sand. Solomon said it real well. Vanity, vanity. What's vanity? Empty. That's all the world has to offer. It's all empty. Empty. That's it. I mean, it's vanity. Vanity. Well, I saw that liquor ad. That'll do it. It's just more sand. That old lifestyle, that party crowd. Oh, they're having a good time. I can see them having fun. Listen to me. It's all sand. That's all it is. You see riches? That's all it is. It's vanity. You know one thing about riches? You lose them. Or they're not enough. Delusion. Saw that opportunity for immorality. Yeah. It's all more sand. You know. Yeah. Oh, you know that guy. He's just such a hunk, huh? Right. You know that all the immorality that's going on in our world today. Abortion. That's all sand. Oh no! That woman, she can forget all about that. Why have I counseled so many? Some sitting right here, nobody even knows. Why have I counseled so many that are still after years and years after an abortion, still every night are haunted by the fact that they killed their child? Because that's not what mothers do. Somebody said, "Oh, this mother got away with murder." No, she didn't. You don't get away with it. Just like abortion, you don't get away with that murder either. Huh? Oh, but boy, we're going to have a good time and we could just make it all go away with abortion. You don't ever make it all go away. That's a delusion of the devil. Safe sex, that's a delusion of the devil. There's only one safe. Only one way for it to be safe, and that is husband and wife. Amen. Commitment. That's the only way for it to be safe. God outlined it very well in his word. Told us how to do it. Made it very, very clear. It's the only way. There isn't any other way. All the unwed mothers. All the what are called illegitimate children. I think they're very legitimate. But I understand the terminology. The point is, where's my dad? You know? But I'm just saying, it's a delusion. Oh, boy, we're having a good time! Till you find out you have AIDS. Right. You see what I'm saying? The liquor crowd's the same thing. Boy, we're having a good time till you have your hangover. I'm not going to ask how many of you ever had a hangover. Someone say, "I'm having a tough time this morning." I understand. But listen to me. I've been around a lot of people with hangovers, and it's no fun. Boy, we had a great time! How about puking your guts out? Well, that wasn't so great. No, it's not. But you know, that's the delusion. That's the delusion. You know, all those rich people? Yeah. Hey, boy, if I could have that! Yeah, I know. And why are they committing suicide? Tell me. Why are they out getting drunk? Why are they on drugs? Why would you be on drugs? Oh, I got to get high, man. Yeah, you get, why? I thought you have everything because that delusion just gets worse and worse and worse. It's a mirage. It's not real out there. Jesus offers living water. It is real. It is real. What he gives us, it's real. I've been saved since I was 17 years old. I'm 53 years old. And every day, it's real. It's not fake water. It's real water. It's not sand. It's water. It's not a mirage. It's real. Walking with him is real. Talking with him is real. Every part of it is real. Every part of it is what he gives and what he provides. And the only times that I even think maybe it's like a desert again is when I'm not where I'm supposed to be with Him. And as a Christian, that is the only problem you may have today. Okay, yeah, preacher, there's a desert. My life is a desert. Okay, understand, He has an oasis with a river running through it. And you need to get with Him. Start out on the altar this morning. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Spend time with Him. And you'll find it's not a delusion. It's real. How many people have fallen prey to some delusion, some mirage that looked so good, only to find out that it was sand? The jail's full of them. Prisons are full of them. The homeless shelters are full of them. Rescue missions are full. RU homes are full. Are you listening? They say, I thought, but they told me, but my friends, but my loved ones, but I saw, and right here, God says, I'll give you a river in the desert if you want it. Teenager, I know it all looks good out there. The world works very, very hard, spends a lot of money to sell you on their stuff. Jesus, only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus gives you water, a river in the desert. Number four, a desert. Not only does a desert speak of dryness and desolation and delusion, but number four, seriously, a desert speaks of despair. You're walking, you're stranded. No transportation. You're walking and it's 100 degrees and you look around for miles and miles and miles. It's just another hill of sand. You hope as you come to the top of that hill, you hope when you look over you'll see a city. You hope you'll see a pond. You hope you'll see something there, but it's just, it's despair. Despair. There's no planes. There's no cars. There's no people. There's no hope. Despair. How many folks, that's their life today? I'm not talking about just the unsaved. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I beg you to get saved today. I beg you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. But I'm afraid that there are many Christians today that it's almost they live like they have that same despair. There's just no hope. My friend, only God can change that. Only God can change it. River in a valley, that's no big deal. Rivers come to valleys all the time. You know, a river in a forest, yeah, that's not such a big deal. But a river in a desert, God has to do that. We just can't figure that out. And God, have you ever thought that maybe your desert is something God allowed so He can put a river there? The Bible says in verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. You ever stop and think that God formed you, for Him? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, right? He said, this people have I formed for myself. We're in the day, folks, where everybody's kind of in it for themselves. God said, I formed you for me. Hey, Brother Korea, God says, I formed you for me. John, God said, I formed you for me. Well, what about my rights? No, God said, I formed you for me. God said, I made you for me. I have something for you to do. For me. And we kind of get on our own way and doing our own thing. And all of a sudden we forget that God had something that He wanted us for. And all of a sudden, the trees are dying all around us as we walk our path. And all the grass is gone. And everything's drying up around us. And all of a sudden we look around and we're right slap in the middle of the desert. In our life, and it's like, hey, what are you doing, God? And maybe God's saying, I want to put a river in your desert because I want you to know I'm here. I've got something for you to do. I made you for me. You know, we can finagle our way out of a lot of things, right? We do. You know, we'll get that offer, 0%, and we'll transfer what was 0% 5 years ago that now has been 20% for the last 5 years. You know what I'm talking about, right? And 0%, ding, I'm free, all right. And we get that 0% and transfer all that money, and now it's 0% for the next year till it becomes 20 again. And your interest is making it higher and higher and higher. And one day when they offer that 0%, you call and say, "Ha, I'm going to bounce it again." And they say, "We're sorry, we can't do that this time." You can't? Why not? What do you mean? And again, you know, it's like there's no hope. But with God, there's always hope. And you don't have to finagle, because God will allow things in your life where you can't finagle. He's quite able. I can share personal testimony many, many times where, okay, God, my hands are off of it because there's nothing more. Isn't it a shame that we let it even get that way, where we don't just let him have it all? Do you feel like there's no hope today? Understand, with God, there's always hope. If you're not sure you're saved, get saved. All of a sudden, the big word hope, it'll be right in front of you to be like, wow, there really is hope. Death doesn't even scare me anymore. Jesus coming again, I'm ready now. Amen. Despair. So many people. There's so much despair today. You ready to give up? Ready to quit? Ready to give in? God will put a river in your desert, and you'll never be the same once he does. Finally, the last thing. First of all, the desert speaks of dryness. Number two speaks of desolation. Number three speaks of delusion. Number four speaks of despair. And then number five, a desert speaks of death. Because you look around, you see the bones of all the past victims that, you know, were out there. Animals, you'll see their bones out there all dry and parched. I mean, they're, you know, they were out there walking the same path you're on, and they died, and it's just a valley of bones out there in that desert. I like old Ezekiel, you know, when he saw the valley of bones, and the question was, can these bones live? I don't know about you, I've seen a lot of bones, mostly chicken bones. And you know, to ask that question, can these bones live? The answer has to be pretty much every time. No, I don't think so. I think they're pretty, once they're bones, it's pretty rough. But you know, with Ezekiel, the man of God, God used it to show his mighty power that the bones could live. Because God gives life. And I don't care how bad it is in your life. I don't care how difficult it may seem. God can always put a river in your desert. As God took those little plants, those little flowers that I got, and, you know, at least we got to see one flower pop out of that thing. And we've seen some green leaves. Now, again, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm hoping it really works out, and I'll have a whole nother message. But you know, in John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman at a well. And she thought that well was the main source of water. Look at it, if you will, and we'll close with this. John chapter 4 and verse 10. And I love what Jesus told her. Jesus being, of course, the best soul winner ever. She gave her arguments, but Jesus stayed right on the point. Verse 10, John chapter 4. And verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Amen. And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children as cattle? By the way, Jacob didn't give him the well anyway, the well she was talking about. Jacob could have dug and dug and dug and dug and dug, and it been dry, 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 dry. Who gave you your physical water? Yeah. City of Adrian. You hope not. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing at the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Why? Because God can put a river in the desert, and that which is dead, God can bring back to life. Maybe your life is like that. Well, I used to serve God. I used to read my Bible. I used to be excited. Okay, let God give you that water again. That water that is living water that'll spring up like a well in your soul. And that water that it's never, never going to keep you thirsty. I don't care how much desert's around you. You'll always, always have plenty to drink. Let's bow our heads, please. Rivers in the desert. Do you need a river today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? You say, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Just slip up your hand. Say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come get you. Won't embarrass you at all. I would like to pray for you. Anyone at all, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God's spoken to my heart about something today as a Christian. Please pray for me. Raise your hand, please, all over. Pray for me. Father, thank you for the living water that you give. Thank you for many, many times, though I felt that I was in the midst of a desert. Thank you that the living water was always right there. And like the rock that followed the children of Israel, your presence was always, always there to give me that living water. And I pray that for every person here. First of all, that we all know we're saved and we're going to heaven. But Lord, that every Christian here would not feel that their life is a desert. Please, work in our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please. 272 in your hymnals. Jesus, I come. If God's speaking to your heart today and you have a decision to make, please do not hesitate. You come as God leads you.